A sermon text from Exodus chapter 2. During those many days, the king of Egypt died. And the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery, and they cried out for help. The cry for rescue from slavery came up to God, and God heard their groanings. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God saw the people of Israel, and God knew. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The people of Israel were broken and helpless. Four generations of slavery in Egypt. Pharaoh went so far as to command that all the baby boys to be cast into the Nile River and drowned. So the outcry from the depths of despair, they cried unto the Lord. We hear it in Psalm 130, verse 1, but also we hear it again in our Exodus text. The people of Israel groaned because of their slavery, and they cried out for help. And those simple cries did not just dissipate into the air. Like the prayers of the faithful throughout all generations, they rose as incense unto the throne of God. And the Lord God heard those prayers. Psalm 130, verse 2, he was attentive to their cry for mercy. Exodus 2, 23, their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God, and God heard their groaning. Much like a parent who hears the cry of their own children, the Lord does not turn a deaf ear to the cries of his children. He hears and he cares, and he can be trusted to respond. So when the Lord heard the people of Israel calling out to him, he responded. That is not to say that God had previously forgotten. What it rather means is that God is now going to take action. That's what remembrance means. It comes to mind, and then you do the thing. So I like to remember, if you remember that it's your mother's birthday and you don't call her, you did not remember. You had no action. God has remembered Israel, and now is the time to act. In this case, when we read that God remembers his covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, that covenant is a binding contract. 6 centuries before this, God had bound himself to Abraham with some truly remarkable promises. You might remember that Sarah and Abraham were very old and childless. But God had promised them descendants. And that those descendants would be more numerous than the stars in the skies. But he also went along with that. He promised them a land that they would dwell in, that they would possess. And he promised that through one special son, that all the nations of the earth would be blessed. That blessing to all the nations would come through one particular offspring, one particular seed, an anointed. You pronounce the English word anointed in Hebrew as Messiah. We pronounce it as Christ in Greek. God had made those great promises to Abraham. He had repeated those promises to Abraham's son Isaac and to Isaac's son Jacob. At the time of our reading, though, 100 years had passed, and while Abraham's descendants had indeed grown more numerous than the Egyptians cared to even imagine, they were still reminded that they were slaves and not citizens, and they dwelled in a land that was not theirs. But the time had come for God to put things aright. Verse 25, God saw the people of Israel, and God knew. He knew. He knew the time had come for deliverance. And he acted. Most importantly, he knew what that next step was going to be. He puts it into play. In the coming weeks, we're going to hear a lot more about how God had set about to fulfill these promises in the book of Exodus. But already we see here very early that God remembers. He remembers his covenant. He remembers the promises that he has made. Much like the Israelites in Egypt, we fall on our knees here before the Lord God here tonight amidst all sorts of disappointments and pains and pressures and all of the fits and the brokenness that living in this fallen world can bring. The struggle against sin can be draining. We may not face the same kind of slavery that the Israelites did so long ago in Egypt. But our enemies hate us no less. Our enemies of the devil and the world and our own sinful nature certainly do their best to enthrall us into their service, to pull us away from the service of God. We may not be bound in Egypt, but we still bear the bitter reality of life in a fallen world. There are things that we cannot control that pull at us, like pride and impatience, impure thoughts, and the love of possessions, and the desire to be liked by everyone. So, like our fathers and our mothers in the faith, out of the depths we cry unto the Lord, even when we don't know how to put those pleas into specific words. The Holy Spirit carries those thoughts and those groanings along with our words, even when the words are wrong. Carrying our words with sighs and groans unto the throne of God, and the Lord God hears your voice. The Lord God is attentive to your cries for mercy. Every word of prayer spoken, every word of prayer that is unspoken and just in your head, every prayer that you say in your car, at your bedside, every word that you mutter over your evening or morning meal, every collect, every litany, the wordless sighs and groanings when you don't know what you want. He hears you. And he cares, and he understands, and he remembers. He remembers your needs, and more importantly, he remembers the promises that he's made to you. For God, who made great promises to Abraham, has made exceedingly great promises to you as well. And the God who kept those promises to Abraham can be trusted to keep his promises here today. The Lord had promised Abraham that he would have numerous descendants, that he would give them a home, and through one particular offspring, all of the nations would be blessed. And God fulfilled those covenantal promises to Abraham. The greatest of those promises is the promise of a Savior, and that God would then share that Savior with everybody. And in doing so, he also established a new covenant, not with just a certain family or tribe or a nation, but a new covenant that he extended unto all the earth. In the Old Testament, God spoke through the prophets of a day that would come when he would establish a new covenant with his people. The chief blessing of that covenant is summarized in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34. I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. That is God's gracious covenant to you, with all of those who share the faith of Abraham and Isaac. Jesus, the Messiah, came in the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He came to fulfill the promise to bring blessings unto all nations. He came to bless you. He came to grant you the forgiveness of your sins. He came to grant you everlasting life. He came to invite you into eternal home that will have no end. What a promise. And in steadfast love and mercy, Christ took upon himself all of your sins, bore them upon the cross, where he made full atonement for them, and in doing so, he has blotted out your transgressions. He has washed you thoroughly in the waters of baptism, and he has cleansed you from all of your sin. And in exchange for your sin that you have given unto Christ, Christ then gives you his robe of righteousness, not counting your trespasses against you. As I mentioned earlier, when we hear the Bible about God remembering, it means that God has decided to act out of his memory. So when God says that he remembers your sin no more, what it means is that God is determined not to act upon your sin. Specifically, he is determined not to judge you for that sin. Your sins have fully been dealt with on the cross of Christ Jesus. And Christ took all of that judgment upon himself. It is a done deal. It is finished. Your forgiveness has been sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ in this new covenant. This blood that was poured out for you, this blood that you will receive in the covenant of this altar. You can be sure that when God says that he will remember, that he will remember to remember, not to remember your sins. God saw the people of Israel and he knew. God sees you, his people, here today, and he knows. He knows what you've gone through. He knows what you're going through. He knows your struggles. He knows it's hard. He knows it's difficult. He knows the way is fraught with obstacles. But he remembers your sin no more, because it is fully atoned for. Freely forgiven. If our Lord were to keep a record of sins, who could hope to stand before him? But with him, on account of Christ, there is forgiveness. For God has heard your cries, and he has answered them in Christ Jesus. May his name be praised and honored forever and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.